Done very quickly, guys. I took an old lesson that was on PowerPoint, put it on paper, figured we had no projector. I want you to turn to, for those of you who have Bibles, Proverbs 6:6.
He grabbed me one
pen. Yeah, you got that camera?
Need one?
Yeah, it's rolling.
You want this one with three columns that you need a microscope to look
at? Just don't get the ones in the
new King James.
Anybody else see Bibles over there?
Wash
it. Want to grab one?
Anybody else?
Next year.
Dark and flat. Yeah.
We're close enough. I think we can all share
something. Greg, if you would, I want you to turn to Romans 1:20.
Romans 1:20?
Yeah, put your finger there. Proverbs 6:6. Tell you a little bit about myself. I was an atheist until I was 31 years old. My dad, Catholic his whole life. Went to Catholic school. From day one, graduated from Catholic school. You would think after 12 years of having somebody in your school where you're teaching you everything, you would make a Catholic. My dad graduated from high school. He wasn't a Catholic. He was an atheist. He was an atheist that hated anything to do with God because he saw all the hypocrisy in the Catholic religion. Unfortunately, with my dad, he grouped all of us together. He raised us kids as atheists. He took us to church when we were very young, only to appease my grandfather. He went to church every day being a Catholic. Every day he was there. But as soon as we got out of church, he would tell us, "Son, everything you just heard is not true. Don't believe any of it." He taught us the lie at a very early age. Now, when you see your grandparents, you tell them we went to church today. That was my dad. Nice guy. You meet my dad, you think he's wonderful. Until one topic comes up. Anything to do with God, you can see one's come out of my dad. He'd lose his temper. He'd get mad. He'd go, that's the way he raised us. And I have three other brothers and a sister. And we were all atheists because of the way my dad raised us. And I never looked at him. You know, that was just it. I heard thousands of times in my life, science has disproven my life. And my buddy, my partner in business, who was a Christian, woke up in the middle of the night and said, "Oh, I couldn't go back to sleep." And, you know, God was burdened and talked to me. And it's like, I wouldn't listen to him anymore. You knocked on my door. I wouldn't have gave you the time of day. I would have blown you off quickly. It had to be somebody I knew that I had a lot of respect for. He was on. He came the next day and said, "Doug, what appointments do you have?" And I told him, he said, "Cancel." I said, "That's right." He told me how he was broken. He couldn't go back to sleep. He tossed and turned. And finally, I agreed with God and he talked to me and witnessed to me. Boom, you went back to sleep. And so he talked to me a half day. Took me to D.C. and talked to me a half day. At the end of that day, I told him that I've never looked at your side. I will honestly look at it with an open mind. And I did. I looked at it first time in my whole life. And as I started studying, I said, I was right here. And he was, you know, every day him and I were meeting and talking more about spiritual things than business. And he was giving me different things to read and listen to. And after 2 months, I realized, wait a minute, I'm wrong. And I got saved. When I was an atheist, you know, if I was by myself, I can remember several times saying, I remember talking to God. Now I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Oh, yes. I remember saying, "God is real." Now, wait. I'm only an atheist. I'm talking to people. But when I'm by myself, just me, many times I have conversations with God that I didn't supposedly believe in. Read Romans 1:20.
"Well, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The
Bible says they are clearly seen. You can see God all around you.
Amen.
You see it in nature.
Right.
It doesn't take, this house, there was a builder that built it.
Yep.
The same nature. You see God all around us. I knew there was a God. People have to be taught that there is no God.
Yep.
Because naturally, you look around and say, somebody created us.
Right. Yep.
I knew that. There's an outward witness. And catch that. So they are without an excuse. We are without excuse.
Right.
God knew that.
That's right.
It's obvious we were brilliant. So I knew there was a God. Okay, which one is it? Which God is right? My dad always said, "There's over 10,000 religions in the world. probably are. Basically, you boil them down. They all come under Catholicism. They come under, you know, being a Buddhist. There's branches of all of these. And maybe there's 10,000 different religions. How do you know we're the right one? Greg's wife asked him that question. And he told me this as we were driving up here. She said to him, how do you know that we're right and everybody else is wrong? Folks, that's a legitimate question. For a person that realizes there is a God, and there's over 10,000 religions, how do you know that we're right? And everybody, that's what we say. We say it more dogmatically than anybody else. Independent, fundamental, temperamental, Baptist, and behind this book, and say, we are right and everybody else is wrong. And if you don't believe exactly what we're telling you, you're going to die and go to hell for all eternity. Nobody else says that. We do. Can we back that up? That's what I want us to look at. First place you ought to start. Here you are, knowing there's a God. Where should you start? Let's start with the biggest religion of all. Let's look at the Muslim religion, the Quran. Now, people say that the Muslim religion and Christianity are equal, about 50-50. Oh, that's fine. See, when you look at what they call Christian, wait a minute, they got Catholics, they got Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, you name it, they call them all Catholics. Remove 99% of them. I say, this group over here, that doesn't make them happy. They are the largest religion in the world, by far. The largest. Now, let's look at some of them. How can we determine that we're right and they're wrong? What do they say about the Quran? When you look at the Quran, what's on the cover? It says the Holy Quran. Wait a minute. That's not a normal book, but it's holy, right? If it's holy, it's without iniquity, without sin. There can be no lies in it. That anything that's wrong in that book makes it not holy.
That's right.
Now let's hold it to that criteria. Now, what does a judge look for? In court, you probably know this. But a judge looks for a lie. He's constantly looking to see who lies. Tells you who's guilty. He's looking for whoever's telling the lie. I want us to do the same with that. Let's look at the Quran. Let's look for the lies.
Good.
How many lies do we need to find in a book that claims to be holy for it not to be holy?
Just one.
One.
Right.
You know that the Quran says that the moon is larger than the sun? Now let's look at the moon tonight. Does the moon appear to be larger than the sun? You bet. Especially the other night we were coming home, that moon looked huge. But human beings looking at the two saying the moon is bigger than the sun. This tells you, man, what that moon is not going to
do. Yeah, right. Right.
The moon goes into the earth many, many times. I don't know. But the earth goes into the sun 333,000 times. Folks, that's a big mistake.
Yeah.
Now, back when the Quran was written, could anybody prove that? Did anybody know? No. Today, we know. We have scientific evidence to prove that to be wrong. Way wrong. And I checked this in the Quran. This is a lesson I did many, many years ago. But I looked every one of these things up in the Quran. I didn't buy a Quran. I looked at it online. I didn't want to waste my money. But they say, you know, when the moon's half moon, you know what the Quran says? That's when Muhammad got mad. Not Muhammad. Allah gets mad. He cuts it with a sword. Stupidity. No, that's not true, right? It's in the Quran. It's there. You know that the Quran says the moon shines by its own light? Now, wait a minute. Does the moon give off light in and of itself?
No, it doesn't.
It reflects light. Another error in the Quran. A lot of mistakes, and I had tons of them. I'm just giving you a little bit of them. But it says Muhammad thought that Miriam, the sister of Moses, was the same person as Mary, the mother of Jesus. Only off by 1,500 years. Teaches that Alexander the Great was a Muslim. No, he wasn't. He was a pagan. Teaches he was a righteous man. No, he wasn't. He was a homosexual. He was a drunkard.
Yep.
Teaches that he lived to be an old age. No, he didn't. He died young. Yep. You know that the Quran says Alexander the Great followed the setting sun and found that it went down into the waters of a muddy river, and that's how we get it. The sun goes into a muddy river. That's how we got it. It's in the Quran to this day, folks. And yet, it's the largest religion in the world. The stupidity is unbelievable. I mean, I've got a list of them, and I just scratched the surface of it. All I did was pour out some of my favorites here. Let's go to the Hindu religion. They have their sacred writings. You know that they have over 4 million gods. Over 4 million gods. Do you know that on June 12, 2007, our stupid government had one of their guys come in an orange dress and pray before the Senate?
What?
Unbelievable. They had one guy in the whole place. Must be related to Anderson. Heckled the guy. One guy out of everybody who heckled. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Be glad I wasn't there, because I would ask him, you just got done praying. Which one of your 4 million, how many is it? It's 4 million. Which one of your 4 million guys did you pray to? Would you group them all together? But we're not a Christian country anymore.
Right.
The United States of America, one nation under God's glory. Well, wait a minute. We allow that guy to pray for us. That's what we want.
Yeah. Yep.
We're not a Christian country anymore. They also teach the world is flat. Triangular shape. We know that's not to be true, but yet it's still in their sacred holy writings. Folks, I got a long list of. I'm just going to save us time because I'm going to get on to the Bible, which is more important. Mm-hmm. You can quickly disprove it.
That's good.
It's not true. I have taught Sunday school lessons on Jehovah's Witnesses. What a stupid religion. It's, Mormons, Joseph Smith. Wait a minute. He supposedly got a message from an angel that gave him a new gospel.
Come on.
Him gold tablets. And you know how many eyewitnesses to all this? You know where the gold tablets are? Nobody knows.
Yep.
Wait a minute. What's the Bible say?
Come on.
Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed.
Right.
The Bible knew this stuff was coming.
Yep.
Seventh Day Adventist. Ellen White. Got a message. All of them. Muhammad got a message from Gabriel, I believe. But here again, another angel.
Yep.
Another gospel. Guess what? Let them be accursed.
Amen.
But it doesn't. I taught on the Mormons. It was so stupid. And yet they have a huge problem. And my dad calls it blind faith. And, most disappointed my dad's ever been when he found out I became Christian. Came to my office door. He didn't call or anything. I had somebody in my office. I saw him standing there. It looked like somebody died. I said, Dad, what's up? He said, something we need to talk. I said, okay. I hurried up and went out there in the car and took me lunch. He said, son, what happened? I heard you became Christian. You have to see the look on his face. He said, what happened? Are you dying? Do you have cancer? Nobody does what you did unless you're dying. I mean, for the next 45 minutes, he tried to get me to undo what he could. Once you're saved, you're always saved.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right.
As a young Christian, it burdened me, my dad. I figured if I could get my dad, I might get my brother saved. It's like, if I could get him. And I tried several times. It was like hitting a brick wall. Like hitting a brick wall. And we argued and argued. One time I studied the gospel the best I know how. I really never knew how to give the gospel good until I went to Arizona. That's a sad thing to say, but I spent a lot of time with therapists. Took them to lunch. Dad gave me mercy. You could tell I put some time on it. He didn't say much. We didn't argue. And I gave him the gospel. I thought I was getting through to him. And we got all done. We walked outside. And he said, son, I believe everything. He said, I believe everything you just told me is true. I believe everything you told me is true according to that book. He said, but I don't believe it. I wasn't expecting that. It's like I had nowhere to go. All my ammunition was in the book. I can't use the book. I can't
That's right.
Now, a couple years later, I told a Sunday school class on the evidence of life. How do we know this book is right? The first time I ever had Dad come to church, I begged him, pleaded. I said, Dad, you've got to come to church this time. What you're going to hear is what I told my whole Sunday school class, mostly for my father's benefit. She brought my stepmom at the time, too. But is it blind faith? Once we know there's a God, do we flip a coin and say, oh, Catholic or Baptist? Catholic. See the stupidity behind that. That's not the thing. I grant you. That if you're a Muslim, you got blind faith because the stupidity is unbelievable. If you're a Mormon, you're a moron because the stupidity in what you believe is unbelievable. You can't back it. If you open your eyes at all, you'll see this isn't real. It's not holy. It's not correct. And all of your eternity is based on it. But not with this book.
Right. Man.
This book is not blind faith. The Bible says, Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. You don't need your brain outside. You examine this book. Malachi tells you, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Test me. Check it out. See if it's real. That's what we're going to do.
Man, it's good.
It's not blind faith, folks. We were blind, but now we see. Remember what we're looking for. We're looking for the truth. Here's what I believe. I believe that the Bible is infallible, inspired, inerrant, and the true, preserved Word of God.
Amen.
Does the Bible make this claim? You bet it does.
Yep.
If this is not true, then scratch holy off the Bible.
Right. Right.
It's not holy if it's not true.
Right.
The criteria to be holy is all of those things. And the Bible claims all of those things. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by what?
Inspiration.
Inspiration of God. Who's the author according to the Bible?
Right.
He's the author. Man penned the book. 1 Timothy 1:21. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Who's writing the Bible?
God.
He had 40-some different men pen the book. But you're just a secretary taking notes.
That's right.
Yep. Let's start with the first page of the Bible. In the beginning, God did what?
Created.
Heavens and the earth. He's the creator, correct? We can check that. We ought to be able to see if that's real. Is it true? Proverbs 6:6. We're going to go there in a minute. Somebody read that. Joe, read that for us.
Verse 6.
Yes, sir.
Go to the end, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise.
We're going to start with something very small. We're going to start with ants.
Okay.
Ants. There's different categories of ants. There's ones that go out and gather all the food. They're called worker ants. Do you think they're boys or girls?
Or both?
They're all girls. All you know this.
They're all girls. I'm going to ask somebody who doesn't. Scott. There's these big ants that hang around the fort. Big fat ants. They're called guardians. Boys or girls? Right. If you're born fat and ugly in an ant family, they make you a guardian. But they're female ants. Ants inside the home. Do the house cleaning. Take care of the kids. All of the work inside. All female ants. You know that none of us in this room has probably ever seen a male ant. None of us. You know how we know all this today? We have a very stupid government that gives off grants to study ants. Unbeknownst to themselves, this time, what they did was what the Bible said to do, study the ant. And they didn't know what they were doing. What they were doing is proving the Bible. You know, you never see a male ant. The women control how many male ants are born. They have it regimented, and they only allow so many male ants to be born. And the male ants are lazy couch bananas. They eat, sleep, fertilize the eggs, and they die. They live a very short life. But most of us have probably never seen a male ant in our whole lifetime. And if you did, it's a lazy bum. The ants that you see, they never even get out of the ground. They stay in the hole. That's all they do, folks. All ants that you see are female ants. Now look at that. Remember something. God wrote this, is what he claims. Go to the ant thou sluggard and consider wise.
Her ways.
Why does it say her ways? If you and I were writing this, we would say what? Consider their ways. Really, the Bible doesn't say that. Consider her ways. This is something discovered in her lifetime. When government did this funding for the ant studies, we know this is true, yet the Bible was right all along, way back in the book of Proverbs. How in the world did Isaiah know something back then? There's no way. Isaiah's not writing this. God's writing it through Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And said, consider her ways. Doug, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Because if God would have wrote their ways, he's half right and half wrong. Guess what? Half wrong. He lied to us. It is not true. It's very important. I want you to see. God doesn't make mistakes like that.
Right.
You know something else? They said right after that, it says, you know, how the ants harvest their food in the summer for winter. They said that wasn't true. 1871, scientists discovered that's exactly what ants do. Harvest their food in the summer and store it for winter. The Bible was right again. Let's go to, don't turn to the scripture, I'll just read it to you. Who discovered the earth was round? Christopher Columbus, 1492. Some say Magellan early 1500s, technically Magellan early 1500s. You have the first place we see the earth was on? This is the verse. It's Isaiah 40:22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Wait a minute. The Bible is saying that the earth is round way before man discovered it. 2,200 years ahead of science. The Bible said that the earth was round. That's one scripture. There's about three other scriptures that imply that the earth is round. Not only is it round, what holds up the earth?
Nothing.
Listen to the Bible. He stretcheth out the north over an empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Now, folks, the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job, everything is held up by something. You see how ridiculous that would be for a man to make a statement like that? What do we know today? That the earth is held up by nothing. We have spaceships and satellites and tons of pictures of the earth, and it is literally held up by nothing, just like the Bible said. See, God created everything. He knows how he did it. It's not what we used to teach. We used to teach that the world was flat. The Hindus still believe that the earth is flat if they believe their holy writings. We see so many things like that. The Bible made unbelievable claims. The people back then had to be really scratching their head and saying, the Bible's saying the earth is round. We know that's not true. And it's held up by nothing. That's not possible. Yes, it is. Many, many years later, we find out the Bible was right and man was wrong. We find out that science disagreed with the Bible, that the stars are innumerable. Listen to the scripture, Hebrews 11:12. So many as the stars in the sky, the multitude in the sand, which is in, by the seashore, innumerable, the Bible says. You can't count them. It says they're like the sand on the seashore. Now you look up at the sky and you say, wow, there's a lot of stars. But that's not true. Yeah. I think you can count them. A lot of people said they could count the stars. A lot of people did it. You know, two of them never came up with the same number. However, when you look up in the sky, you say there's not that many. Well, guess what happened? You look like you got the Bible. Several places, I think the Bible says they're innumerable. But Galileo, 1609, invents what?
Telescope.
Wait a minute. There's stars behind these stars. And after that, we invent stronger and stronger and stronger telescopes. And every time we invent another one, what do we find?
More stars.
Tons and tons and tons of stars. Bible, right? They didn't make an unbelievable claim that there's no human way possible you could have ever known that. Man couldn't have wrote that.
That's right.
God had to write it. There's no other explanation you could make for it. But yet the Bible was right and science was wrong again. Job 25:5. Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. See, the moon doesn't shine, it reflects.
That's right.
The Bible knew that.
That's good.
But yet the Muslims didn't know. And you know, the Hindus' writings say that the moon gives off light in and of itself, which is not true. Not our Bible. The Bible knew all along. It reflects. Matthew Murray, home and sick. He's a captain on a British ship somewhere. But his home flew or something. He had his son reading the Bible to him. And he gets a whole lot of credit for this, and he's famous to this day as the pathfinder of the seas. That's what he's known for. But his son was reading the scripture. The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. See, we just thought that the ocean, just like a big random mopup. We know today that's not true. And ships today will try to get in these currents, which will help them, you know, get to their destination and save on gas. These currents are important to us today. But there's an actual path through the sea, many paths. We know all this today. It wasn't discovered until this fellow got sick and his son was reading the Bible, and all he did was check out the Bible. Unfortunately, he got all the credit, and the Bible did. But, you see, the Bible's right again. Somebody said, I've got to check that out. Guess what? That's nothing wrong with that. Check out the Bible. That's what we ought to do. Prove me now here with saying the Lord. Want you to check it out. Because when you check it out, you're going to find out it's right. Christopher Columbus, I believe, read his Bible. He was a Christian. Wait a minute. Everybody says this world is flat. I'm going to fall off of it. The Bible says it's round.
But 2,700 years before man, the Bible said there was paths in the sea.
Listen to the blood. Here's what the blood does in our bodies. It is the blood that carries all the life processes of the body. It is the blood that causes growth, builds new cells, grows bones and flesh, and stores fat, and makes hair and nails.
It is the blood that feeds and supports all the organs of the body. It's, if the blood supply should be cut off from the arm will immediately begin to die on it. It is the blood that repairs the body. It's the blood that clots wounds and grows new flesh, new skin, and even new nerves. It is the blood that fights diseases. Folks, as soon as you go to the doctors today, they're going to check your blood. They can tell how good of health you're in by your blood. The blood does everything. It's the most important thing in your whole body. It's the blood. Say, Doug, we've always known this. No, we haven't. That's not true. 210 years ago, George Washington, with the best doctors known to man, he didn't die of pneumonia like you read in the book. You know what they did to him? They bled him four times. Right. They removed blood. You've seen some of the old movies where they put a bowl underneath your arm and bleed you. It was a process that went on for a long time. You got sick, we're going to drain the blood out of you. That's the worst thing in the world you could do. Yet they had the best doctors and the best science at the time telling them that's what they should do. That's what killed him. And right beside George Washington on his nightstand is a Bible. Here's what it says in Leviticus 17:11. The life of the flesh is in the blood.
Amen. That's right.
And folks, if you read your Bible, you wouldn't have drained his blood four different times and killed him. Don't you find it odd? What Moses wrote 1490 B.C. was correct and superseded what the best scientists and the best doctors at that time knew. Yet the Bible was correct. Because Moses didn't write it, guys. God did. NASA's Research Center, 1982. Listen to this statement on what they discovered. It stated that according to the scientists, that the ingredients needed to form a human being can be found in clay. The article said a human being, said the biblical scenario for creation of life turns out not to be far off the mark. Folks, not to be far off the mark, that's exactly what the Bible says.
Yep.
We are formed from clay, and they find out everything that man has as far as ingredients can be right out of clay. Guess what? The Bible's right there. It's not off the mark. It's exactly what the Bible says. See, as man gets smarter, they keep proving things accidentally. Because the last thing they want to do is prove this book.
Yep.
They're doing it unbeknownst to themselves. I'm going to skip through a lot of these, but the evaporation where the water leaves the ocean, it rises and turns into clouds and then rains back on. And the circulation that you see there, you see that in Ecclesiastes 1:7. The Bible said it there. Here again, the Bible is 2,500 years ahead of man. What the Bible said is exactly what now we discover 2,500 years later. Folks, it just shows the Bible's of God.
Man,
I love these guys. It's these two guys. You ever see the old movies where the doctor's operating on somebody, his hands are all bloody? And he doesn't go to a faucet. He goes to a bowl and washes his hands. And he goes and operates on somebody else. And when he's done washing his hands, does his hands look clean? Mm-hmm. Are they clean?
Oh, there's germs all over.
Disease was running rampant. And they operated, and people were not dying because of whatever it was they operated on. They were dying because of the disease that took place after. Why? Because it's all over their hands, even though they couldn't see it. See, there's germs there. Yet the Bible knew it all along. See, these two guys, let me get their names here.
Boy, I gotta get Bible music looks like.
Pasteur, where we get the word pasteurized from, and Knock. These are the two scientists that discovered when you wash your hands, and run water. Here's what the Bible says. Leviticus 15:13. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of the issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water. Folks, what they discovered is what the Bible said. 1490 B.C. Here again, the Bible's about 3,000 years ahead of man. What the Bible said to do, if we would have done that all along, we wouldn't have had so many people die. Sanitation in the Bible is unbelievable. You preached a sermon. I studied it. There's a lot of things in sanitation all through the Bible. And if we would have followed those steps, it's unbelievable. The bubonic plague that hit Europe, you know, a quarter to one half of the people Europe died because of that. You know, 200 million people, I believe, died from that plague. One sentence in the Bible could have prevented the whole thing.
if they would have got rid of their human waste like the Bible says to do, which says to bury, which they weren't doing, that's what caused all the disease. One sentence in the Bible could have spared 200 million lives. Guess what? Who was in charge? Catholicism. What was Catholicism telling their people? Not to read their Bible because you can't understand it. You want to know the Bible? Come to the church and we'll tell you what to say.
Right.
Folks, they would have been reading their Bible and they would have found out, hey, this is what we ought to do.
Yep.
And they would have never had it happen to start with. Here again, you don't follow the instruction book, which is the Bible.
Amen.
This is what's going to happen. 200 million people died. Could have prevented it with one sentence of the Bible. I have more, but I'm going to skip through it. I want to tell you this one. Job 38:19. Where is the way where the light dwells? You being an electrician, does the light ever have a place that it dwells? Never does. This is always a motion. Notice that. But the Bible, if we were writing it, man was writing this, it would say, hey, here's where the place where the light dwells. That's a lie. Light has no place that it dwells. It is constantly moving. Does the light look like it's moving in here? No, it looks like it has a place. But it's not. It's constantly moving the entire time. Now listen to what it says. It says, where is the way for the light? It doesn't say place. The Bible knew all along. God knew way before man discovered that light never sits still. It's constantly moving.
That's good. That's good.
Here again, 3,500 years before man discovered it, the Bible made that claim. I'll skip that one. You have currents in the sky, or planes flying them. We know where they're at. Ecclesiastes 1:6 tells you about the currents that are in the sky. I'm going to skip that one too. I have many more. I only picked out a handful for this lesson. What's the purpose of all this? Why? Doug, we're all Christians. Why do we want to know this? We don't know it because your wife needs more. How do you know we're right and everybody else is wrong? Her salvation depends on this.
Right.
You might not be able to give her the gospel until you put the book to her. I've had several people, I've got my Bible tabbed with a whole bunch of these. If I come up with an atheist, I've had several sit-down meetings with them, and it takes a while to go through it. But once you prove the Bible to them, and now you give them the gospel, man, it's that powerful. But I've had several people been saved that you just couldn't give the gospel to because they don't believe the Bible. And folks, unfortunately today, this book you used to open up in the old days and they had a reverence for it, and what you said they listened to. Not anymore today.
Right.
I don't believe the book. You got to know those. More importantly than that, we've got to increase our faith. How much faith do you need to get saved? If you need the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain.
True.
How much do you need to be saved? I love what you said on one of your sermons. The Ethiopian eunuch says, what hindereth me to be baptized? He says, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly, but I believe this is what it says. Correct me if I'm wrong. He says, you know, if thou believest with all thine heart. And he doesn't answer. See, that's the degree. He doesn't answer. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is that right? Now, it's not how much he had, how much faith he had. It's in whom he had the faith.
It's good.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is that good enough for Philip? Oh, yeah.
Yep. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
It's right. Good. Let's baptize this guy.
It's good.
It's not a degree of faith to get saved. It's in whom you believe.
Amen.
Amen.
Now,
once you are saved, are there degrees of faith?
Yes.
Oh, yes, there are. How about the fella that tells Jesus, don't even come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to step foot in my house. Now I'm paraphrasing, folks.
Right.
But you just speak it or think it. I think he said speak it, and it'll be done.
Yep.
And what's Jesus do? He marvels. He says, I've seen no greater faith. Did this guy get that Jesus was God? You bet he did. He knew. This is nothing for you. Just speak it, it'll be done. And he turns and says, I've seen no faith like this in all of Israel. Remember, I'm paraphrasing this. And now, are his apostles there? You bet they are. That's including them. These folks, this guy had more faith than everybody else he's seen. Because he grabbed it. He said, Jesus is God. He doesn't make it come there. Just speak it. You see a woman that put her might in there. And you saw her faith. She gave everything. That's the degree of faith that we have. How many times do you see Jesus talk to his apostles and say, ye of little faith. If anybody should have had a terrific faith, these guys should have, because they saw unbelievable miracles. But there are degrees of faith, folks. I want us to realize that this book is the Word of God.
Amen.
I want us to understand that it's real.
That's good. Amen.
And that way our faith grows. I want to tell you why I want you to have your faith grow. I don't know where I'm at on my page. Give me a sec. Here's some scripture.
Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's only one way to please God, and what is it?
Faith.
There's no other way. By faith. Now that we're saved, we ought to get to where our faith increases. When your faith increases, you realize that this book is real. And now all of a sudden you realize the worst imaginable place in the whole world. This book talks about it. It's all now. It's real.
Yes, sir.
You realize that there's loved ones going there.
Yep.
You realize that your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your wife are going to this terrible place. See, the Bible doesn't tell you a whole lot about heaven. It tells you a whole lot about hell.
Yep.
163 times the Bible tells you about hell. Jesus, over 70 sometimes, that we know of, that were written down, talked about hell. Far more than he ever talked about heaven. We know a lot about heaven. The Bible tells us. It tells us where it's at. Listen to some scriptures. Acts 2:31. Seeing this before the day of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Folks, there's a literal hell for this brethren.
Yep.
When Jesus Christ died, his soul went to hell.
Yep, right, Matt.
Matthew 12:40. Jesus says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The Bible tells us where hell is.
That's right.
It's in the heart of the earth. I want you to see more scientific evidence about hell. We'll get to that. Ephesians 4:9 tells you more, and I'm going to skip that for lack of time. But science knows today that the center of our earth is what?
Fire.
It's a place of fire. You know what confuses scientists today? They can't explain it. They don't understand why that the center of our earth still on fire. Why isn't it cold? Now, you'll have some scientists that will lie to you and say, well, it's a thermos effect. Wait a minute. Have you ever seen a picture of the globe with all the volcanoes all over? They're scattered all throughout. We don't have many here, but they're all over the world. If you've got a thermos of coffee, you've got the slightest pinhole in it. By 5 o'clock, your coffee is cold.
That's right.
Guess what? That doesn't hold water. Not only can't they understand why it's on fire, and the closest reading we can get, which is not near the core of the earth at all, is over 12,000 degrees. But they don't understand why. There's no sign of it cooling. Theoretically, it ought to be cooler today than it was yesterday. And it's not. No signs of the earth cooling. Where is the energy coming for this fire? Fires need to keep burning something. Somewhere there's got to be a pipe going into the center of the earth to make this happen, and there's nothing. Guess what, folks? You know why? God says that's where hell is. He made it, and it's a place of fire. It's a place of torment. We know a whole lot about hell. But science, they scratch their head on this. And yet, they know what it is. And guess what? What they know the center of the earth to be, does it match this book? Perfectly. Revelation 14:10 says, "And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone." You know, the Bible says that the center of the earth is brimstone. You know what brimstone is? Sulfur. What comes out of volcanoes? Lava. What's lava? Sulfur. Exactly what the Bible said. Way before man discovered it, the Bible told you where it's at, what it's like, and what it's made out of, and everything we see is exactly what comes out of the center of the earth. There's no possible way man knew that way back then. The Bible calls it a place. It's a real place. It's a place of wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. It's a place of fire. It's a place of torment. The Bible says, "And Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The Bible says it's a place of torment. All those things are terrible. The worst thing you could ever imagine is what this Bible calls him, and it's a real place. You can prove that it's real by everything I just told you. You know that it's real because the Bible is true. Now, that's not the most horrible thing about hell. You say, how can anything be worse than that? What's worse than hell? It's the duration of hell.
Yeah, right.
Once you get there, you can't get out. Once your loved ones go there, they will never get out. I remember these two when they were younger, their grandmother died. And they both looked at me after they found out she was dead. They said, "Dad, she's in hell." It broke my heart. I thought, yes, she's in hell. She's still here to this day. She will never, ever get out. This place that we're talking about, she is there. I love that old woman. I don't like my mother-in-law much, but I love that woman. And I still want my mother-in-law to go to hell.
usually not in there. But it's one of those places. People say you go there and burn it. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in Matthew 25:46, I believe, and these shall go into everlasting punishment. Does that sound like they burn up? It is forever.
That's right.
Everlasting. Several places in the Bible. Once you go there, you are tormented. I'm going to skip some of this. If you realize that the Bible is real, and you realize hell is real, what's that going to naturally make you? I'm a soul winner.
That's good.
Folks, I come from a church that's an independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist church, but we got into Lordship salvation. We got into this repentance moment. We couldn't get somebody saved if we paid them. And if somebody accidentally got saved by mistake, we wouldn't believe it. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. If they, oh, he admitted, oh, he's not saved. He didn't come to church this Sunday. Yeah. Folks, I spent over $2,000 to take Sierra and myself and fly down to meet this man. See, I knew we weren't doing it right. If you want to better yourself, find out somebody who's doing it right.
Amen.
And show me what you're doing.
Amen.
And he did. And if you go there, wear tennis shoes, see, it's going to wear you out. This sounds crazy. But I promise you this. I saw a man who loved people.
That's good. Amen.
Never,
amen.
If you're going to do what I did, I got to the point where I was so miserable. It's like, there's got to be a better way. Go to somebody who's doing it right. Never, ever take advice from somebody that's not doing better than you are.
That's right.
And folks, I'm 48 years old, and you're 27, 28 now.
28.
Now, you think, I know this Bible, hold on, he's a walking encyclopedia. Just because I'm older, I tell you right now, if him and I differ on something, I say he's probably right and I'm wrong. I'm just not smart enough to see it. But always go to somebody who knows something better than you. Don't go to somebody who doesn't. Don't go to a random person. But I went and said, I want to hang out with you for a minute and see what you do. And guess what? I came back. Started winning
something. Amen.
Folks, that's what will happen to you. Once you realize the book is real, you get a burden for most people. You imagine your parents in hell for eternity, your brother, your sister, your wife, and it burns you. Folks, that'll make you a soul man.
Yep.
It's what made me go see him.
Good. That's good.
See, we can prove this book scientifically. We can prove it mathematically. It's unbelievable, the mathematics in the Bible.
Yeah.
I want you to know, just look at the prophecies. You know, there's over 10,000 prophecies in that book. All of which, specific prophecies. Not like it's going to rain tomorrow. You have unbelievable, specific prophecies, all of which have come true with the exception of end times. How about Jesus? You know, you've got 333 prophecies about Jesus. You know, for 8 out of 8 prophecies to come true, and not Christian scientists, worldly, I'm not scientists, mathematicians, worldly mathematicians and Christian mathematicians agree on this. For 8 out of 8 prophecies to come true, the chances of that happening would be taking the entire state of Texas, filling it up with 50 cent pieces, all of them are on tails except for one. And you've got to draw that one up on the heads, and they're 2 feet high. There's 333 prophecies of the coming Messiah. Folks, there's no possible way that Jesus Christ is not who the Bible says the Messiah, our Savior. Catch that, folks. Mathematically, we can prove the Bible. Scientifically, we can prove the Bible. You know, we can prove the Bible historically. You know, archaeology was started in the 19th century. You know why? It was started to disprove the Bible. You know, we have over 25. I did a lesson. I'd love to share with you one day. I have a PowerPoint thing on archaeology. I also have one on prophecies. But over 25,000 archaeological sites today. Guess what? To disprove the Bible, guess what they do? They prove it. Not one thing is going against this book.
That's right.
And we have thousands of things that they've uncovered that all coincide with this
book. Amen.
And prove the Bible. There's no book like it, folks.
That's right.
We know that this is the Word of God.
Amen.
See, exactly what they want to do is the opposite. How else we can prove it with Jesus? Look at that. Look at what Jesus did. Everything you could possibly do to show you that I'm real, so why? So you believe. But look at the things that I just made a list. This is a full list. But Jesus knew the past. He can tell you the past. He can tell you the present. How many times in the Bible he says, I know what you're thinking. You don't like this shirt. I don't care. Jesus did that all the time. He knew what people were thinking. He knew the past. He knew the present.
See, how is that possible? Only God can do that.
Right. One of your version.
Ah, that's not possible. You're right. Not possible. Only God.
That's right.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
He walked on water. Ah, that's not possible. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. God.
That's
it's
right.
Possible. You made the blind see. You made the deaf hear. You made the lame walk. There was nothing that Jesus could have done. He made the dead rise up. He ruined every funeral with his head. Yeah, you get up. You got tons and tons of miracles all throughout the Bible. Not like Joseph Smith, where there's no evidence. What happened with Jesus? He had tons and tons of eyewitnesses. He did it out in front of everybody. Why? For one reason only. So you see that he's real, so that you believe.
Amen.
How do you get to heaven?
Mom.
One word.
Mom.
Believe.
Amen.
That's what he wants you to do. When you realize this book is real, you realize Jesus is real, then you say, ah, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's
Amen.
The most important thing. If you get nothing else, get that one thing.
Right.
Believe on Jesus Christ and him alone, plus or minus nothing.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
What else did he do? He had control over the animals. You see it all through the Bible. I want you to go pick up that rebellious Jonas. Grab them for 3 days, shake them around a little bit, but don't kill them, then throw them up on shore. Ah, Jesus could do things like that.
That's right.
You get fish, I want you to go and get Peter's net. I know you're all going to die, but do it anyway. And they did it. He had control over all of the animals. He had control over the weather. Boom, and it would be calm. How is that possible? Only God could do that.
That's right.
What's the most important thing? Even the Bible says it's an infallible proof. What is it?
Resurrection.
Jesus himself resurrected.
Right. Amen.
Chapter 1 tells you it's an infallible proof. This unbelievable evidence.
Amen.
Jesus rose again. Was it prophesied? Yes. Did it happen? You bet.
Amen.
Folks, how much evidence do we have of that? We don't have it today, but we have it all written down. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this day. Folks, over 500 people at one time saw Jesus after he was resurrected, and many, many more after that. What about his ascension? Acts 1:9, I think it is. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in the cloud, receiving the battle. There was a great gathering there. We don't know how many people. How many eyewitnesses do you have to have? We got tons of them, folks. For 40 days, he was on this earth to show people that he was God. For one reason. Folks, my whole purpose is you realize this book is real. It's real in your picture. When you picture your loved ones going to hell, this is not a game, folks.
Right.
It's 100% real. We can prove that book. The problem we have is getting somebody's ear long enough to show them that we're right and that they're going to go to this place. And they don't have to go to this place.
Right.
Because Jesus did everything.
Yep.
Some dug that too easy. I am not for easy believers. Easy believism, by definition, implies that you must do a minuscule amount of work in order to get saved. It's very easy to get saved. Guess what? The slightest bit of work you add to grace negates grace, Romans 11:6.
Yeah.
I am for effortless believism. Well, you do nothing. Jesus did it all. You realize that I believe on Jesus Christ and nothing I have done, just Jesus.
That's right, man.
And you're saved, folks.
Amen.
You've got to believe, but you don't add any works to it. What a wonderful picture. Well, I'd have to change this and just no, he doesn't. It doesn't tell you to change anything.
Right.
It tells you to believe. And hopefully you change these things. You'll have a much better life if you follow the instruction book.
That's right.
But you got to believe. Folks, if we believe that book, we're going to become better soldiers.
Yep. Good.
I'm way out of time. I'm done.
Good. Amen. Amen. Good. Amen.